Hey guys, welcome back to the Prehistoric Life Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Crawford, and today we're diving in with a small ceratopsian, Leptoceratops. Now, I want a fair warning, this is Microceratops. I think that's what it's called. Microceratops. Yes, this is Microceratops, Microceratops. Maybe this is Leptoceratops. Besides the point. It is not Leptoceratops. It is... I dropped an edit about it. Apparently, I don't remember what it's called off the top of my head. That is a problem. Because I should totally know what it is. If I'm going to say that it's not that. Protoceratops, my bad. This is not Protoceratops. This is Protoceratops. This is not Protoceratops. So this thing comes in at a whopping 3.2-ish feet tall. It weighed about 150 to 140 pounds. So, wow. This thing was a whopping 6 to 7-ish feet long at its, like, max. Of course, they're smaller. Its diet was herbivores, bushes, shrubs, berries, ferns, things like that. It was found in Canada, Alberta, the U.S., Wyoming. I'm going to get a chance to find one. You never know. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint. Maybe, maybe. It is a small ceratopsian herbivore. It lived in pretty large herds like micro or protoceratops. 7 to 12-ish, I'd give. Strong bite force like it's 4-4-4 founder protoceratops. I'm just kidding. It was named by Barnum Brown in 1914. While Leptoceratops was probably quadrupedal, like its larger cousins, the rear legs were much longer than the front legs. This had led to the suggestion that Protoceratops may have been occasionally bipedal, either for the purpose of reaching up for food sources or running at speed similar fashion to how hadrosaur's movement is interpreted. As with other ceratopsians, Leptoceratops probably used its hard beak to chop. Wow. The leafy parts of the vegetation, leafy grounds of vegetation and things like that. From cycads and ferns. So those are types of plants that they have. So it probably uses its beak to kind of trim the plants back and munch them a little bit. Things like that. So again, this thing is, if I'm not mistaken, if I can find Protoceratops in a reasonable time. Again, bear with me. I'm going to try to find it, but no guarantee. Lystrosaurus. Protoceratops. This thing was small. Taller? This thing was smaller than Protoceratops, if I'm not mistaken. So... okay, I get it, you dang cord. Quit turning the camera. Thank you. So this thing was smaller than slightly smaller than Protoceratops. They're about the same size. But the thought is that the back limbs were longer than the front limbs. So the front limbs, here, I'll pull this camera up. Since it wants to be difficult, would have stopped like here-ish, so its head would have actually been lower to the ground whenever it was standing. But it was thought that it could probably rear up on its hind legs and run a little faster. Or if there's like leaves up here and it can't quite reach its neck, it could kind of lean up and munch on them a little bit. Because I would assume, like Protoceratops, these things probably lived in more desertous-like environments, not in lush jungles. So like Protoceratops, food would probably be very rare. Leptoceratops, meaning lean horned face, and derives from Greek lepto, meaning small, insignificant, slender, meager, or lean. Curata, meaning horn, and ops, meaning face, is a genus of primitive ceratopsian dinosaurs from the late Cretaceous period, late Maastrichtian age, 66.8 to 66.038 million years ago, not billion, of what is now Western North America, at the same time as the giant relatives of the genus Triceratops. The skulls have been found in Alberta, Canada, and in Wyoming. Although Alberta is in Canada, so I guess they're just specifying Alberta and Canada. They could probably stand and run on their hind legs. Analysis of the forelimb function indicates that they could pronate their hands, they could also walk on four legs. Leptoceratops was around 2 meters, 6.6 feet long, and could have weighed between 68 and 200 kilograms, 150 to 440 pounds. So yeah, this thing is actually kind of crazy. This is a very unique creature because it's one of the, like, few-ish non hadrosaur dinosaurs. I won't even say that. There's a lot of dinosaurs, but it's one of those, which I think it's, I don't really know. It might be one of the only ceratopsians that can do that. Off the top of my head, it's probably one of the only ceratopsians that was thought to be able to rear up on its hind legs. The first small ceratopsian named Leptoceratops was discovered in 1910 and described 4 years later by Barnum Brown in the Red Deer Valley in Alberta, Canada. The first specimen had a part of its skull missing. However, there have been later well-preserved finds by C.M. Sternberg in 1974, including one complete fossil. There has been later material found in 1978 in Bighorn Basin in northern Wyoming. The type species is Leptoceratops gracilis. In 1942, material collected in Montana was named Leptoceratops cerorhinocus, but this was later renamed Montanoceratops. So, again, like most dinosaurs, it goes through name changes and things like that. The basic name that we have kind of deemed this thing is Leptoceratops. Montanoceratops is a little ignorant because there's a lot of ceratopsians from Montana. Classification. Leptoceratops belongs to the ceratopsians. Or belong to the Ceratopsia, the name in ancient Greek means for horned face, okay. A group of herbivorous dinosaurs with parrot-like beaks that thrived in North America and Asia during the Cretaceous period. Within this group, it has been placed either in Protoceratopsids or its own family, Leptoceratopsids. So this thing's very Protoceratopsy. Protoceratops was in Asia, Mongolia to be more specific, with Velociraptor. Well, this thing was kind of that North American counterpart. Diet. Leptoceratops, like all ceratopsians, was a herbivore during the Cretaceous period. Flowering plants were geographically limited on the landscape. I don't know why they quoted that. So it is likely that this dinosaur fed on the predominant plant of the era, fern, cycads, and conifers. Conifers. I'm not a paleobotanist, so bear with me on that. I even struggle with these dang dinosaur names. It would have used its sharp ceratopsian beak to bite off the leaves or needles. In popular culture, Leptoceratops appears in the PlayStation game of The Lost World Jurassic Park. Ooh. When you play as the Compsognathus, I'm going to call it what I call it. It can be found in the first two levels, High Ridge and Rainforest, where it guards the DNA due to its large size compared to the character, to the player. It can do a large amount of damage to the player, although successfully killing it does reward you with a lot of health. The main attack of the Leptoceratops is a bucking, goring motion, making head-on attacks difficult, although an attack from behind can do a large amount of damage. It is believed that the Leptoceratops could stand and run on its hind legs, as well as walk on all fours, as it does in the game. So, I mean, again, Jurassic Park putting these things back, or interesting dinosaurs back on the map, putting unknown dinosaurs back on the map since 1993. It's seen as an illustration at the beginning of the Lost World 1998 film. In the opening credits, along with the Centrosaurus, digital visual effects, image animation in Big Bang animation. Some say it's an unknown ceratopsian. It made its first yet brief appearance in the National Geographic dinosaur documentary Dino Autopsy at the very beginning. It was originally going to appear in the upcoming game Saurian, but were scrapped due to it not being found in the particular time period the game takes place in. So, yeah, there's a lot of generic stuff that this creature has been lucky enough to kind of show up in. So it isn't unknown to, I guess, what you would call pop culture, but it is also not a very common creature due to it being just, in my opinion, Protoceratops is probably the more well-known, well-versified version of this. So this is kind of just like a fill-in for Protoceratops. A little is probably how it's used primarily. So this is a general Leptoceratops sound. 3D model and animation by Tim Goodwin. Nepa. So let's give this a listen. It's only 15 seconds. Alright. That was Leptoceratops sound effects. Don't know where that's from or what that's based around, but yeah. So, like I said, this thing was in the Maastrichtian of the Cretaceous. So, for those of you that don't know, Cretaceous is up here. Maastrichtian, I'm going to try to kind of zoom in with this, is right here at the top. And it said 77, or, well, 60. It was late Maastrichtian, so it would have been kind of right. This thing definitely experienced the KT extinction is what it's saying. So kind of in this gap, so late, so 66 million years ago, give or take. This thing definitely experienced the KT extinction. And if you don't know what that is, why are you here? That's basic dinosaur knowledge. The asteroid that killed the dinosaurs. That's the KT extinction. So, yeah, this is my episode on Leptoceratops. So, but if you want to go see, because I bet in Wyoming or Montana or Alberta were fossil or dinosaur trips. So go check out Dinosaur Trips. They're actually going to Alberta very soon. Go check out Dinosaur Trips. They're getting geared up to go to Alberta. I don't know if it's too late to buy tickets. And if it is, I am so sorry. Maybe you can book tickets for next year. But if you do that, tell them that Prehistoric Life sent you, and they will give you $250 off your tickets. They'll give you $250 off your tickets if you tell them that Prehistoric Life sent you. Also, if you want to see their Instagram, there's their Instagram, so go check them out. Please, I'm begging you, go check them out. Tell them Prehistoric Life sent you. They'll give you $250 off your tickets. And if you go to Alberta and you happen to see a Leptoceratops in a museum somewhere and you decide to post a picture, please tag me in it. And I want to see if somebody from here, from Prehistoric Life, use that gift certificate, whatever you want to call it. And you got $250 off their tickets and got to go see a Leptoceratops and a dinosaur that we've actually talked about. But while you're checking out their account on Instagram, go check out my account. I post additional content, Dinosaur of the Week, reels, things like that, stuff on my story. So please go check that out. That's where I go talk about everything else. So, and if you want to see my content early, I try to post it 2-ish days earlier on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're not, go check out my YouTube channel and like and subscribe. Easy enough. But yeah. And if you want all that in one easy place, go check out my website, prehistoriclifepodcast.com. There, from there, you can get to my YouTube and my Instagram account. And as you can see, we have Ripper Revenator as last episode. So please go check that out. And that is all for me. I am your host, Eric Crawford, signing off. I will see you all next time. Remember, keep it prehistoric. Goodbye.